Praise God. Ephesians chapter 6. Turn in your Bibles today. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Praise God. Amen. We're always blessed to have God's Word. When you look into the Word of God, somebody said to me, they said, Pastor, the more I look, the more I find. And it's like a mine, a gold mine. As you just keep digging, you just keep finding nuggets. Don't be happy just to scratch around in the surface of the Word of God, but dig deep. Everyone say, dig deep. And the more you dig, the more you'll find. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Going to read from verses 10 through to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Everybody say, in the Lord. Where does our strength come from? It's in the Lord. And the power of His might. Everybody say, His might. It doesn't say the power of my might. It says the power of His might. And we are told to put on. Everyone say, put on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Everyone say, stand. He can't take us down if we've got the armor on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Everyone say, withstand. In that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking. Everybody say, taking. Before the first three, it says having on, having on, having on. But now it says, and taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all. Everybody say, all. All the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's read verse 17 together. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want to minister today from this portion of Scripture that we have already read today. I want to minister this title, Take Your Sword to the Battle. Take your sword, or bring your sword to the battle. Everybody say, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the power of your Word that speaks to us, and it shall never return void. We thank you, Lord, that we can stand in this evil day. We thank you, Lord, that we have the victory through the cross and through your blood that was shed for us. We give you all the praise and all the glory, and all the church says amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, living a victorious Christian life. A lot of people want to talk about living in victory. Everyone say victory. Victory. I'm here to tell you that living victory will not happen by accident. You need God's covering for the spiritual battle that you face. If you're going to be victorious, and if you are going to stand and withstand, you need to make sure you have God's covering. Putting on God's covering for the battle that we face. The Scripture tells us, put on the whole armor of God. I've been waiting to use this in a sermon for a long time. Put on the whole armor of God. Everybody say, whole. Put on the whole armor of God. Whose armor is it? It's God's armor. You see, as Christians, we can't drop our guard. We've got to have the armor of God on. And the question is not if the enemy will advance. The question today is, are you dressed for the battle? That's the question. Because we have an enemy of our soul who will come against us, who goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There is no question about that. The question is, are you dressed for the battle? Are you dressed? You see, God knows what we're supposed to wear. It's the armor of God. It's not my armor, it's God's armor. And let me say this, we would have to be a fool to be fighting a spiritual battle without the spiritual armor. Everybody say amen. Amen. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. It says that we can stand. You don't have to fight. All you've got to do is stand on the victory that has already been won. We must stand firm. Everyone say firm. You see, we hold the ground. We hold the ground that Jesus has already won for us. Let me say that again. The victory has already been won. Jesus at the cross defeated death, hell, and the grave. All we need to do is hold the ground that Jesus has already won, because he is already the victor. Yeah, he looked like the victim as they put the crown of thorns on his head, and he looked like the victim when they put the spear in his side. He looked like the victim when they nailed him to the cross, but the victim became a victor, and we are victorious and more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And so we must hold the ground that Jesus has already won. You see, the devil can do nothing to us unless we give him ground, unless we give him permission. And that's why the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Hold the ground that has already been won. Stand therefore in the victory that has already been won by Jesus. You see, Satan has no legitimate weapons against us. He has no legitimate weapons. His only trick is deception. Everybody say deception. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. His deception even comes down to the fact that he would disguise himself as an angel of light. But I've come to tell you, the victory has already been won. If you would put on the armor of God, you can stand. Don't give ground to the devil. Stand on the ground that has already been won. If you're taking notes, write this down. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Understand that. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. The Bible says in 1 John 4 verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You don't fight for victory. You fight from victory. And the Bible says that if we're going to stand in this hour, that we need to put on the armor of God. And then it tells us to take the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can't talk about spiritual warfare unless you're talking about the armor of God. It's spiritual warfare 101. Get dressed for success. Put on the armor of God. You can't say you're serious about warfare unless you start talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, you can't go into battle without your sword. You can't live this Christian life and these spiritual battles that we will face. You can't do it without the Word of God. And it says, take the sword of the Spirit. Take. Pick it up as needed. The first three items in the armor of God is having on. This is a state of being. We never take them off. The second set, it says to take. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take the shield of faith. You see, God gives us the armor. It's all there at our disposal. We can take it, but God doesn't dress you. He doesn't dress you. You got to put on the whole armor of God. Coming to church doesn't dress you. You've got to put it on. And the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. You see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You've got to understand that the things that are coming against us are not flesh and blood, but we are in a spiritual battle. And if you don't understand that, if you think you're wrestling against flesh and blood, you'll be just like Moses. When he saw that Hebrew slave being abused, what did he do? He took matters into his own hands. Yeah, he slew the Egyptian. He took matters into his own hands. He killed that Egyptian because he didn't realize that it's a spiritual battle. God was getting ready to take care of the Egyptians. If you don't understand that we are in a spiritual battle, you'll be like Peter, who cut off the ear. He cut off the ear, the servant's ear, to protect Jesus because he didn't realize that it's a spiritual battle. You see, God doesn't need human methodology. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need a human approach to a spiritual battle. I tell you today, it is the sword of the Spirit. It is the Spirit's sword, and it is the Word of God. Amen. I hope you got your Bible today. I hope you came to battle with your sword today. Take your sword to the battle. You see, one of the reasons we often lose the battle is because we go to human. We try to do it in our own strength, and that's why we lose. That's why we find ourselves in a defeated place, because we go and take a human approach to a spiritual battle. You see, it's the sword of the Spirit. Take your sword, or bring your sword to the battle. Everybody say the Word of God. Now, believe it or not, God expects us to use it. God expects us to use it. I know it sounds a little bit elementary, but a lot of people, we've got a sword at our disposal, but we don't use it. God expects us to use the sword of the Spirit. You can't go into battle without knowing your weapon. You've got to know your weapon, and that's why our part of our daily devotion will always include the reading of the Word of God. Picking up the Word and reading it. That's why our spiritual habits involve a midweek Bible study or midweek Bible study groups or Bible school, because you've got to learn how to use your sword. God expects you to use it. You see, that's why you've got to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so if you study to show yourself approved unto God, you ought not to be ashamed. It says that needeth not to be ashamed. Now flip that verse. If you don't study and you don't know how to use your sword and you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, then you ought to be ashamed. God expects us to use the sword of the Spirit. Training is needed. Even those Roman soldiers, before they went into battle, they had like big wooden swords, fake swords that they would have, and they were much heavier than the normal swords. They would take the big shields, and they were heavier than the normal shields, and they would train with those heavy items so that when the real battle came, they picked up a real sword. They're like, wow, this feels light. The sword I've been using all week was a heavy one. And when I got out into the battlefield today and I got the sword of the Spirit, it wasn't hard to carry because I've been training, I've been preparing, I've been studying. I know how to use the Word of God. You see, it is the sword of the Spirit. Now, I hope today that after hearing this message that you will have a desire to get into the Word of God. That's my prayer today. That's what I've prayed as I prepared this week. And the desire to get into the Word of God, the desire to become more knowledgeable about the Word of God and to learn how to use the sword of the Spirit, it can't come from this pulpit. I can't make you desire to be more knowledgeable. I can't make you want to read the Bible. I can't make you begin to have personal devotion and daily devotions in the Word of God. The skilled use of the sword of the Spirit has to come from within. Listen to the attitude of the psalmist. It's in Psalm chapter 119, verse 101. It's there. He says, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. He says, I'm doing whatever I can. I'm restraining my feet. I'm limiting where I go. I'm not just going anywhere because, God, I want to keep your word. I am not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. How sweet is the word of God. You see, this love for the word of God has come from within. It has come from within the heart of the psalmist. And he says, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I pray that today that you will begin to have a desire and a yearning to know more about the word of God, to take the sword of the Spirit. And the psalmist says, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Through your precepts, God, through your word, I get understanding. I talked about this last Sunday about the bankers and the fraudulent counterfeit notes. They don't train them in every type of counterfeit note there is. It would be impossible to go and find an example of every counterfeit note, take it to the bankers and say, oh, look at these are the counterfeits. No, you can't possibly do that because they're coming up with new ways all the time. So with the bankers, what they do is they give them the real thing, that they study the real thing. They know it so well that whenever the false comes into their hands, they know it's counterfeit. It's fraudulent. It's not the real thing. And that's what the psalmist said. The psalmist said this. He says, through your precepts, I get understanding. When I read the word, I get understanding. When I read the word, I understand the truth. When I read the word, I know the truth. And what does he say in the next phrase? Psalm 119, verse 4. Therefore, I hate every false way. I hate every false way. Why does he hate the false? Because he gets understanding from the precepts of God's word. You see, when you're in the word of God and you're reading the word of God and you know the word of God, when the lies come, you're like, that's a lie. That's not in the Bible. That's not the Bible way. That's not what God would have us do. Because we know, he says, through thy precepts, I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. You see, we've got to know the truth. In this day and age, we are faced with so much deception. The Bible says in the last days, there's going to be false prophets. In the last days, there's all sorts of lies. We can't even believe the news anymore. You can't even trust anyone anymore. But through your precepts, God, I get understanding. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light unto my path. And so it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Everybody say word. Word. Now, that word, it sounds a bit confusing. That word, can have three different meanings in the Bible. First of all, the word is translated in one way, graphe, G-R-A-P-H-E, which is simply the words on the page, the physical book, the words on the page, the graphe. But then the second word, translated word, is the word logos, which is not just the words on the page, but it is, for want of a better word, the story that the words are saying, the message of the book. So the graphe are the words on the page, the physical book, whereas the logos is the message of the book. The message of the graphe is the logos. And logos is powerful. This word that we have, this Bible we have, it is powerful. In the beginning was the logos, was the word. In the beginning was the word. There's power in the logos. But Paul doesn't say, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the graphe, the physical Bible, the physical book, the words on the page. That's not what he means. It's not just, you don't have any power. You know, a lot of people treat the Bible like a lucky charm. You'd be surprised how many people have a Bible in their glove box that they never read in their car because they think if they just have a physical Bible in their car that God's going to protect them because they've got the Bible. Some people have it on their coffee table. They never read it. They don't get beyond the graphe to even the logos. Some people travel around with a little Bible in their top pocket. It's no different than having a rabbit's foot in your top pocket if you don't read it. It's not a lucky charm. And so Paul wasn't saying that it's just the words on the page or the physical book. He was not just saying the message of the Bible. What he was saying is the Greek word rhema. Everyone say rhema. The sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. And what is the word rhema? The word rhema is not just the words on the page. The word rhema does not mean just the story or the message that this book tells us. But the word rhema is a timely word for the battle that we are facing right now. Whatever battle you are facing, you don't need to read the Bible from front to back. You just need God to breathe a fresh word to you, a timely word, a rhema word. And so when I go into battle, when I face a spiritual battle, I need a timely word. And that timely word may just be that I am more than a conqueror through Jesus. That timely word may be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That timely word may be to do all things through prayer and thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. That may be the word that I need to hear. We don't just need another Bible on our shelf. We need a rhema word of God. Because it is the rhema word of God that is the sword of the Spirit. And you've come to church before many times, I'm sure. And as the word of God has been opened, we've opened the graphe, we started to get into the logos, and before you know it, God began to speak a rhema. You're like, how does this guy know about me? Did somebody tell Pastor what happened to me yesterday? How did he know what I was thinking? How did he know the questions that were in my heart? The pastor doesn't know, but God knows. And as the word of God is coming forth, the rhema word is coming to you. A timely word for the battle that you are facing. The sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. You see, the Holy Spirit quickens a passage in the graphe, in the logos. The Holy Spirit quickens it and it comes alive. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever read a scripture you read thousands of times, but then you read it and poof, it exploded. It came alive. It began to speak to you. The words, some people say like this, the words on the page just leapt out at me. That's a rhema word. You see, you can have a Bible factory and not have the sword. Because the sword of the Spirit is the rhema of God. You can understand the whole Bible. You can even memorize the whole Bible and not have the sword. You see, the graphe gives you the logos, but the rhema is the sword that plunges in and draws the blood. We get victory. This is our offensive weapon, the offensive weapon of the sword, which is the word of God. And so when the enemy is coming against you, you've got to stand your ground, put on the armor of God, and take the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6, verse 17, we read it in our text, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. That means a now word for a now battle. Write it down, mark it down. A now word for a now battle. Jesus himself use the word of God when Satan came against him. Okay? Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. You can read it at another time. But Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Anybody ever been in a wilderness experience, even in your Christian life? Yeah? Yeah. Sometimes you're going to go through the wilderness. Just keep going. You'll get through. Don't stop in the wilderness. When I go through the water, when I go through the fire, just keep on going. Don't stop. Sometimes the mountains are hard to climb. Some people say, well, Pastor, I got a very rough mountain to climb. I got a very rough mountain in my life right now. Let me tell you, you can climb it. You can't climb a smooth mountain. Anybody ever tried to climb a smooth mountain? You're just going to keep slipping. But thank God for the rough mountains that we climb, because it is through those battles where we get strength. We can grip on. We can put on the armor of God. We can make it, church. The victory has been won for us at the cross. We stand our ground. Stand therefore, put on the armor of God. You can be victorious. And so there is Jesus. And the devil comes to him, if thou be the Son of God. You know, Satan's favorite weapon or favorite tool is questions. Everybody say questions. He's trying to undermine what you know to be true. That's what he's trying. He's just going to come to you with questions. And when Satan came to him with a question, Jesus replied, "It is written." And that's a great response when the devil comes to you. When you start having questions, when the devil comes to you with questions, and when you don't understand everything, and we're not going to understand everything this side of heaven, but when the devil comes to you with questions, you ought to know the word of God and say, you know what? I got a rhema word. I got a sword right now. It is written. The devil tempted Jesus. Jesus said, "Get behind me, for it is written." And if Jesus used the word himself, who am I to think that I can do it without the word? It's as simple as that. Satan tries to quote the word even. And Satan can quote it, but because there's no submission, it amounts to nothing because there's no submission to the word. The Bible says, "And you shall know the truth." Persuasion. You got to know it. You got to know the truth. You got to be submitted to it. You got to be sold out to it. You got to be living that godly life, and you shall know the truth, be persuaded, submitted, sold out, and the truth shall set you free. You see, that's the power of the Word of God. Hopefully, I hope today as I'm preaching about the Word of God, you can't wait to get back and start reading your Bible again. Now, I'm not against technology, but I think it's great if you've got those Bible apps that you can open and have a daily Bible reading or a daily devotion, share it with somebody else. I got a lot of people in church. I got so many reading plans. I think I've got about 50 reading plans to do, Bible reading plans, because everyone in church, they want to do a reading plan. So they add me as a friend on YouVersion, and I get a note that says, "Sister Justine wants to do the..." Sister hasn't sent it to me, but I make just see her sitting there. "Sister Justine wants to do a reading plan with you." I'm like, man, if I did all these reading plans, I don't know what I would do, but, and sorry if I haven't accepted your friend request to do the reading plan. I have hundreds of them to do. But find somebody to do a reading plan with. There's lots of great things, like maybe it's a reading plan about having patience. Read, all the scriptures are there. All the devotions are there. Maybe it's a reading plan about overcoming addictions. They're out there. There's all sorts of reading plans. Go, and, you know, there's more availability of the Word of God now than there ever was. Utilize it. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praise God. The psalmist writes, "But I delight in the law of the Lord, like a tree planted by the water, fruitful and prospering." People who love the word, people who delight in the word will be strong. Everybody say strong. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. As I draw to a close, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. I pray that there would be a fresh commitment to the word of God. Fathers, as you lead your families, make sure you're a man of the word. Mothers, as you lead your families, make sure you're a woman of the word. Ephesians 5, verse 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives. So wives, give your husband elbow. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify, so this is about the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Okay, so how is the church sanctified and cleansed? It's in the verse. With the washing of the water by the word. Yeah, that's how God cleanses the church. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. If you want to be holy and without blemish, and you want to be part of the glorious church that is going to be presented to Jesus in that last day without spot or wrinkle, you've got to be committed to allowing the water of the Word to wash you. And there's the washing happening this morning. Maybe there's somebody here today that hasn't read the Bible in a long time. That the Bible has no place in your life. You're just kind of living from day to day with no strong foundation, no godly, no biblical foundation in your life. You're just kind of just surviving from one day to another. As the Word is being preached, it's washing you, correcting you, instructing you, helping you. The washing of the Word. And Paul reminds us, he says, you know how much Jesus loves the church? You want to know how much Jesus is committed to the church, his bride? He says, I'm going to sanctify and cleanse the bride, the church, with the washing of the water by the Word. And so sometimes you might even come to church and you've got thoughts that are not right with God. You've got motives that are not right with God. Maybe there's even sin that you've allowed to creep into your life. As the Word of God is preached, it begins to do a washing. You see, once you're saved, you don't know everything. You are righteous. The Bible says that we become the righteousness of God. When you are first saved, you are as righteous as the most righteous person. You are made righteous. You take on Jesus's righteousness. But then the unfortunate thing, Bishop Downs, is we have to live in this world. And in this world, as you walk the streets of this world, and you're going to go out into the world this week, as you walk the streets of this world, once you were washed and your feet were clean, you were made righteous. But as you walk the streets of this world, you're going to get dirty feet again. You're going to come to church and there's going to be things in your life that shouldn't be there, and you picked up some dirt from the world. But when you come into the house of God and the Word is preached, or when you go to your private devotion, or when you go to Bible study, you know what? The washing of the Word begins to happen again. It begins to cleanse us. It begins to wash us clean again. You see, that is the washing of the Word, the power of the Word. You see, we get dirty feet. Our feet get dirty. You don't need to go and be baptized again. No, if you've been baptized, that's enough. Just the once. As long as it's in Jesus' name, get baptized in Jesus' name. But then after that, the washing of the Word, the cleansing that continually happens. And going to God, when the Word reveals something to us, we confess it to God. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even in the tabernacle, and I took a picture there of the laver of water. When they would go into the tabernacle, they would go first to the brazen altar. Then after they had sacrificed at the brazen altar, they would come to the laver of water. Everyone say the laver of water. Read it for yourself. The laver of water was made out of the looking glasses of women. What do you think looking glasses are? They're mirrors, polished brass that was polished so they could see the reflection. And the Word, the washing of the Word is here. Here we have the laver of water, the washing of the Word. It also speaks of baptism, but the washing of the Word. And so as the priest would look into the water and wash his hands, what could he see looking back at him? His reflection. And when we look into the Word of God, we see who we are and we see where we stand. You don't look around and compare yourself to other people. Don't compare yourself to other Christians. Don't compare yourself to other people in church. Look into the Word of God. And as you look into the Word of God, you see the man or woman that you are. And then apply that Word to your life. And if there's any wicked way, if there's any sin in your life, confess it to God. Say, God, as I looked in your Word today, I could see some blemishes. I could see some things that ought not to be there. And Lord God, I confess that sin. And you know what begins to happen? The washing of the Word begins to happen in our life. Habits from your old life may pop up. It can happen. Some of those old habits that you thought were gone a long time ago. Maybe you say, Pastor, I haven't been angry like that since before I was a Christian. Let me tell you, let the Word wash you again. Oh, I haven't been like that. I don't know where it came from. It just popped up, had those old habits. Yeah, let the Word wash you. Family traits that you don't like. Maybe some things that in your family, some traits that shouldn't be there as well. You say, you know what, I'm starting to act like my grandfather. You know, I don't know where that came from. Let me tell you, let the washing of the word, let it cleanse you. Let the washing of the word happen. Let the word wash us. As I finish, the Bible, in the first page of the Bible, if you go and look at your first page there, go right back to the first page, Genesis chapter 1. On the first page of the Bible, no fewer than 9 times in the first chapter, we read these words, "And God said." Go through chapter 1 and underline every time it says, "And God said." It's there, right in the first chapter. "And God said." "And God said." There should be no doubt in our mind that it matters what God said. And there should be no doubt in our mind that there is power. Come on, somebody. That there is power in the Word of God. Because as God spoke, things happened. There is power in the Word. I'm here to tell you, this is not the book of the month. It's not the book of the year. This is the book of the ages. And there's power in the Word of God. It is your sword. It's going to cleanse you. Whatever you need, it's in the Word of God. Why don't you get yourself a Rhema word, a fresh word from God, that you may be able to stand strong against the enemy. Somebody say amen. "And God said," as we finish, let's all stand. 1 Kings chapter 8. And I want to end off with one verse. Amen. When the priests settled the ark into its place in Solomon's temple. We read the account here. The Ark of the Covenant was there in Solomon's temple. 1 Kings 8, verse 9 and 10. So there's the ark. There were normally 3 things in the ark. Can anyone remember the 3 things that were usually in the ark? Aaron's rod that budded. Slow down a bit. Aaron's rod that budded. A pot of manna and 2 tablets of stone with the 10 commandments. So that's what was meant to be in there. Aaron's rod that budded, the pot of manna, and the 10 commandments. But here it is. 1 Kings 8 verse 9. There was nothing in the ark save the 2 tablets of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass. Look at this. Aaron's rod that budded speaks of miracles, the miraculous. The pot of manna speaks of God's miraculous provision in the wilderness. Material things even, material blessings. Miraculous material blessings. So the Aaron's rod that budded wasn't in there. Miraculous signs and wonders, all of that, it wasn't there. The provision from God, the pot of manna, wasn't there. All that was there in the ark was the 2 tables of stone, which just happens to be the Word of God. So what? We're lost. No miraculous rod that's budding, a stick that keeps growing buds on it. No miraculous provision of manna from heaven. I tell you, look what happened. All they had, there was nothing in the ark except the 2 tables of stone. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. The power of God descends right there. Why? Because there's power in the Word of God. And it came to pass when the priests would come out of the holy place and that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so much so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. I'm here to tell you, I thank God for miracles. I thank God for signs and wonders, but there's power in the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If all you've got is the Word, let me tell you, you've got enough. You've got enough if all you've got is the Word. I'm not looking forward to that day, and I believe it may happen soon. One of the problems with having the Word of God on your devices is that one day, just like in schools now, the Bible's been banned because it's so offensive. apparently. So what's going to stop Apple and Google and all them just no longer giving you a Bible to have on your phone? If they turned it off and cut your internet, the access to that application, you lose it. It's gone. The power's in their hands. That's why I'm kind of a bit old school. They'd have to come in and wrestle this off me in my own house. I got a big dog too. They have to get past Benson. And if I run, I can run with this. I've got the Word, because the Word is all I need. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy Word is a light unto my path. Thy Word washes me, it corrects me, instructs me in righteousness. I'm going to be judged by this Word. In those days, the books will be open and I'll be judged by this Word. You see, the Word was enough. Even without the manna, without the rod, the Word was enough. There is power in this house. Why? Because the Word is in the house. A preacher is powerful only when they preach the Word. You may be inspired, that's all great. But inspiration isn't going to change you like the Word of God changes you. That's why you got to find a church, find a pastor who's going to preach to you the Word of God. The Word of God. I want to know the Word. The Word is enough in these last days. I want to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I've got the victory that was won for me at the cross. I win if I'll just stand and not give place to the devil. I pray, and that is my prayer today, that you would leave this place with a fresh love for the Word of God. A fresh love for the Word of God. Where do I start, Pastor? Maybe you're a young person today. Say, Pastor, you know, where do I start? Let me tell you, just start with one chapter. If you're a young person today, let me tell you what chapter to start with, all right? Just so you don't even have to think about it. Start with Proverbs chapter 1, all right? And in July, there's 31 days, and read one chapter every day, because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. That's a great place to start. And how many people know young people need wisdom? Yeah, we need wisdom. Young people, there's a few ways you can learn lessons in life. You can learn lessons the hard way, which means you have to make all the mistakes and say, oh man, that was bad, I don't want to do that again. It's foolish to have to live life like that. But we will learn lessons the hard way. There will be, but you don't have to learn everything the hard way. The second, you can learn wisdom from people who have already made the mistakes, and they help you and you listen to them. Or you can go to the Word of God, and you can find the wisdom that you need. The wisdom that you need to make it. It's all in the Word of God. And so, brothers and sisters, there's no doubt that we are in a battle. There is no doubt. But I'm here to tell you, bring your sword to the battle. Bring your sword to the battle. If we're going to stand, if we're going to be victorious, I've got to have a rhema word from God. I've got to get into the Word and let it speak to me. Let it illuminate. Let revelation come. Let it speak to the circumstances in my life. Amen. I'm going to pray right now, but I'm going to pray exactly what I've prepared as what I've prayed as I've prepared this week. I'm going to pray that we would leave this place with a fresh love for the Word of God. That this church family would make a fresh commitment to get back to daily devotions, to get back to their daily Bible readings. They would get back to studying the Bible and get that love for the Word again. For everything will pass away. The flower will fade, the grass will wither, but the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Lord God, I just pray for everyone under the sound of my voice today. For those that are gathered here, Lord, families, singles, young people, older people. Lord God, Lord, how we need your Word. Lord, if we don't hear from you, what shall we do? How we know what step to take if your Word doesn't light our step? How we know which path to take if your Word doesn't light our path? And so, Lord God, I pray over this congregation, both here and online, that, Lord, you would put a fresh burden and a fresh love for your Word in our heart again. Lord, I pray we'd start reading again. We'd start dwelling on the Word of God. That, Lord, we wouldn't just be hearers of the Word, but we'd be doers of the Word also. Lord, for in this battle, Lord, you've given us a sword. It is your sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. Lord God, you've given us armor, Lord God, that you told us that if we would put it on, that we are able to stand and we are able to withstand anything. All the fiery darts of the wicked would fly against us. Lord, we can stand in this evil day. Lord God, we want to be committed and we want to be people of your word. Lord God, I pray that a burden would come forth, Lord, even as your word has been preached. Lord God, you're speaking to people's situations. You're speaking to their circumstances. We thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.